The hit series created by and starring former SNL cast member Bill Hader. Or The Bear, which won awards in the comedy category. Ultimately, it's up to your interpretation. But there's no denying that the influence of comedy has stretched far beyond its original boundaries when it comes to movies and TV. Turn to social media, and the genre is even more ubiquitous. X, or the site formerly known as Twitter, has essentially been a joke-writing workshop since its inception. But instead of laughs or applause, retweets. On other platforms like TikTok, young users who probably consider themselves content creators over comics have a knack for creating what are essentially super short comedic sketches. What's the difference between these and, say, an SNL sketch? Other than their budget and length, surprisingly little. But short videos aren't the only form of instant comedy. Out of the top five podcasts on Spotify charts, three of them are hosted by established comedians, and many of their guests are often comics themselves. While these podcasts are different from improv comedy, where actors make up characters and storylines on the spot, they still tend to be unscripted. The guests also riff on and build onto each other's jokes, essentially improvising the entire time. Even stand-up, the what's the deal with airline food form of comedy, that nearly became a punchline itself, seems to be having a renaissance. Scroll through TikTok, Instagram Reels, or YouTube Shorts, and you're sure to come across stand-up clips from legendary comics to up-and-comers. And streaming services have taken notice, too. Many are investing heavily in feature stand-up specials from top comedians. So, while comedy may be harder to define and more absurd than ever before, it's certainly alive and well. You just may have to look in different spaces than before. I'm Tabor Brewster.
Join Macy's and our nonprofit partners to help address the youth mental health crisis this school year. Now through September 14th, you can fund mental health services and resources when you donate online to the Jed Foundation and the National Alliance on Mental Illness. Or round up your Macy's store purchase up to 99 cents and donate the extra change. Give back today and learn more about our mission to create brighter futures for all at Macy's.com/purpose.
She's so smooth, so...
I'm interrupting my own shower to remind you to treat your skin like the queen she is with Olay Hyaluronic Body Wash. Packed with Olay's highest level of vitamin B3 complex. It's so moisturizing that it will give you visibly smoother, head-turning skin in just 14 days. People wondering, how'd she get so smooth? Olay Hyaluronic Body Wash. Also, try Olay Hyaluronic Body Lotion.
That's Viewpoints for this week. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram to learn more about upcoming shows and find a library of past programs on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spotify. Plus, you'll always find previous segments and more information about our guests at viewpointsradio.org. Join us again next week for another edition of Viewpoints.
98.3 FM WCQL, Park Falls, Wisconsin. The Park Falls Community Broadcasting Corporation. 98Q
Country. Every Sunday, it's your game day headquarters and Sunday fun day. Bone-in wings, 75 cents each. Dine-in only at Burgers Bar and Grill, Highway 13, Phillips.
It's the Price County Fair's first annual classic car show happening Sunday, August 27th at the Price County Fairgrounds in Phillips, Wisconsin. Featuring trophies for first and second place in 12 different categories. Plus, Best of Show, People's Choice, Fair's Choice, and specialty awards given out by the Price County Fair Board. $10 registration fee includes two complimentary passes to the fair, with registration starting at 9 a.m. and concluding with award presentation at 3 p.m. All are welcome at the Price County Fair's first annual classic car show held on Sunday, August 27th, in conjunction with the Price County Fair. Enjoy live music, food vendors, exhibitors, carnival rides, and more all weekend long. For more car show information, email me, BigG@BIGG@WCQM.com.
When you wake up well-rested on a great mattress, everything becomes clear.
I do have a favorite child. Things you missed when you were tired finally reveal themselves.
My life coach has a terrible life.
Find your mattress at the Actually Really Seriously Best Sale of the Year for real at Mattress Firm. Save up to $700 on select Tempur-Pedic adjustable mattress sets, plus a $300 gift toward pillows and more. With fast, free delivery, the right mattress matters. We'll find yours. Restrictions apply. See store or mattressfirm.com for details.
Attorney Joe Cordell.
Business owners and professionals face special challenges in divorce court. In addition to everything else going on, they have to contend with allegations that they are earning more than they are, coupled with claims on their business or practice itself. Clients with assets depend on their divorce lawyer's skills in these matters, and that's why it's so important to hire someone that has those skills.
Schedule an appointment with one of Cordell & Cordell's Madison area attorneys. 8040 Excelsior Drive, Suite 403, Madison, Wisconsin, 53717.
Welcome back to your source for the latest hunting and fishing information. Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Thanks for joining us on Outdoors Radio. I'm Dan Small. It's time for another Lake Michigan Fishing Report, sponsored by Dumper Dan's Sport Fishing Charters, Condos, and Riverfront Store, located on South Pier Drive in Sheboygan and on the web at dumperdan.com. And you'll find this report, as we tell you every time we do one, along with every report that we record this season, posted on his Facebook page, which is Dumper Dan's Sport Fishing Charters. It's also brought to you this week by Rupp's Downtown Supper Club, 925 North 8th Street in Sheboygan, and on Facebook at Rupp's Downtown. Well, joining us again from Sheboygan is Charter Captain Dumper Dan Welch. Well, Dan, welcome back. Thanks for joining us again.
You bet. Glad to be back again, Dan. Thank you.
Well, we've been talking to you now 3 weeks in a row because this is the time of year when the action changes. The big kings start to move in and you use different tactics and the bite near shore really picks up. What's going on now?
Yeah, you hit it right on the head, Dan. It's an interesting time of year where the fish are all over the place. They really are. They're coming in from out deep and they're suspending in different water depths off the Port of Sheboygan here. We got a lot of structure. We have the river mouth, you know, river water flowing out into the lake of the Sheboygan Harbor. That helps draw fish in. You can catch them in a lot of different areas right now, and you got to kind of watch what's going on because the fish are moving around, and some days they'll be in one spot, next day they'll be in another spot. But the water is cooled down, and that's a good thing. And we had some of my charter boats the last few days fish the harbor area right out in front of the Sheboygan Harbor where that's and river water is, and we caught a few nice kings, but they're not in there thick yet, and it's still early for the spawning salmon. That's usually more a September thing, but we did catch some in there, Dan, and we trolled out or powered out about a mile and a half, 2 miles, and still our go-to spot's been in like 80 feet of water out to about 140 north of town. A lot of bait fish there, a lot of kings, some variety of fish, steelhead, some lake trout, but mostly kings in that 80 to 140 north of town. And fish will migrate closer to shore. Water's perfect temp right now to bring them in, and there's a lot of bait around as well.
Other than the spawning urge, which is bringing all the mature salmon in, what else would draw them closer to shore, either sooner or later, or this time of year in general?
Well, this time of year in general, they're made to come back to their tributaries that they were planted in, and that's why, like we've talked in the past, where we do the net pen project, and we actually hold fish here in the Sheboygan River for a few weeks and feed them, let them go into the lake so they really get accustomed to the harbor area that they were planted in. And not just Sheboygan, but a lot of ports throughout Wisconsin do this. And then also what the DNR just stocks right out of the hatchery, out of the DNR trucks in each port, them fish come back as well. That's what they do, and they come back to their port, they go up the rivers, they spawn and do their thing, and that's the main reason. But another one is water temperature. If it's too warm, they'll come in later. If it's cooler, they'll come in earlier. They'll stage longer if the water temp's just right in the mid 50 degree range. And if there's bait fish in front of the harbors, they'll stay there as well for a longer period of time. So sometimes they'll be there for a few days to a week. Sometimes they'll be there for a month. It just depends on the year, but they all return back to their ports when they're 4-year-old mature Chinook salmon to do their spawning.
A lot of variables there. And you're on top of it because you've got 6 boats that are out just about every day. Do you have openings now for what's left of August, which is only about a week, and coming into September?
We do. And in fact, the last couple of days, Dan, I've had just a flurry of calls for this exact fishing, and I booked a lot of trips the last 48 hours for early to mid-September, even late August, but I do have openings, so I can get you in, but the calls are coming in pretty steady to do this, so I would recommend giving me a call, 920-377-1147. You'll talk to me, Dumper Dan, direct. I'll get you exactly what you want to do in dates and times, lodging or no lodging, fishing morning, afternoon, what have you. But get on out here and do it, because it's kind of a special time of year. It really is, because a lot of my veteran captains that have been here a while really get excited about this time of year, because we like fishing in close for these mature salmon, and that's what people come here to do in the fall season. And they're still good eating. You can grill them, you can smoke them, but you can also mount them if you get a big one that's, you know, 25, 30 pounds or better, too.
Is this an accessible fishery for somebody who's got a good-sized boat and has never done it?
It is. That's a very good question. And this time of year, a lot of them folks do target this, and it's easy access. You know, you don't really have to run hardly anywhere to get to them. It's not like you're powering halfway across the lake or something, because they're right out in front and they're close to shore. And any size boat, really. I mean, we've seen them 14 foot on up, you know, and yeah, if you can put a couple dipsy diver rod setups on there, a couple board planer rod setups, if you're able to put a couple downriggers on your boat, you're good to go, and you can definitely fish these fish. And you know, you're fishing 20 to 40, 50 feet of water, so not too hard to get down to them depths with just about any kind of equipment out of any kind of boat at this time of year. And pier anglers too. I mean, our piers, you know, they're in great shape. The south pier just opened up this year. They rebuilt the south break wall. The north pier at Sheboygan's in great shape. You can walk out on both piers and fish both sides and catch salmon if you don't have a boat as well.
And I imagine you see an occasional kayak angler, too.
We do. Not so much in this port as much. There, Port Washington, there's a lot of them, I heard, in Milwaukee, but there are a few of them around. Most of them actually kind of troll.
Uh-huh.
It's awful hard to anchor in traffic. You ought to kind of be careful with that, because you can't block a navigable but waterway by anchoring like that. But most of them troll. They paddle away, and they catch them. And it looks like a lot of fun, too, you know, on a kayak. You always keep an eye on the sky and on the weather. You don't want to get in trouble out there, but if you're close to shore, you should be able to wiggle your way back into safety if you get caught in something, waves or wind or a lightning storm or something. You see our boats around, they're in that area for a reason. I mean, we're definitely catching them if we're fishing close to shore. If not, we'll be offshore. But this time of year, it's going to take off quick, and hopefully it's good for a while, and they head into the rivers, and you can catch them in the rivers, on the lake, in the harbor, and you'll see them jumping, which is really unique. You'll see them splashing and jumping all over, so you know the fish are there.
Yeah, it's a great time to fish for salmon. Well, our second sponsor this week is Rupp's Downtown Supper Club. I know they've got a nice history mural of Sheboygan, and they're known for their Saturday prime rib specials, but what else can you tell us about Rupp's?
They're one of the go-to best steakhouses around in the Sheboygan area, and that says a lot, because we have some excellent restaurants in Sheboygan, the city of Sheboygan, the county of Sheboygan. There's a lot of good ones, but Rupp's has been here probably the longest. Richard did pass away a few years ago, but his wife does run it. She does a great job. The staff they have there have been there for a long time. Their kitchen's all glass windowed, so you can see them cook your steaks or salmon or whatever you have, chicken, pork chops. They have everything on the menu, and you can see them cook that. They have a great bar there, and they have a great salad bar. It's really nice. A lot of things on that. So good supper club, downtown Sheboygan, 8th Street, great location, not too far from the river, probably 4 or 5 blocks. Definitely check out Rupp's on 8th Street, because they're one of the best fine dining around.
All right. Well, Dan, we're going to let you go, but we'll catch up with you again as the Kings get closer to shore. It's kind of like watching a parade, you know. It gets closer and closer, and all of a sudden, boom, there they are right in the harbor. So thanks so much, and hope the fishing continues to be excellent. We'll talk to you soon.
Been a great season. We're going to keep at it for quite some time yet, and we'll be going into October, so get on out here and give it a shot. And if you got your own boat or your own fishing rod, get out on the pier or the lake and enjoy the fall season.
All right. Dumper Dan Welch with the Lake Michigan Fishing Report from Sheboygan. His Facebook page, where you can hear this report again and see some photos, is Dumper Dan Sport Fishing Charters. You can also find him on the web at dumperdan.com. And this week also brought to you by Rupp's Downtown Supper Club, 925 North 8th Street in Sheboygan, and on Facebook at Rupp's Downtown. I'm Dan Small. More Outdoors Radio right after this.
Listen to More Outdoors Radio online at
DanSmallOutdoors.com.
Every Sunday, it's your game day headquarters and Sunday fun day. Bone-in wings, 75 cents each. Dine-in only at Burgers Bar and Grill, Highway 13, Phillips.
Come stay and relax with us at Shoreview Cabins in Phillips, Wisconsin, in one of our modern North Woodsy furnace cabins or our main house, with all the modern conveniences, including smart TVs, Wi-Fi, and more, with all the privacy for fishing and enjoying time with family and friends. Shopping, restaurants, Elk Lake Park and Splash Pad, plus golf course and boat landing, all within a 3-mile radius. Book now for Labor Day weekend through our website at shoreviewcabins.com, your year-round relaxation destination overlooking Long Lake, located on Darrell Avenue in Phillips, Wisconsin, or at shoreviewcabins.com.
Here's your 98 Q Country Weatherology Forecast. Slight chance for isolated showers today. Otherwise, a mix of clouds and sun. Highs level off around 70. Southwest winds, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Partly cloudy skies again tonight. Lows dip down to about 49. A blend of clouds and sun tomorrow. Chance for scattered storms. High temperatures reach up to 77. Low 70s Tuesday and Wednesday. Looking further out, 77 Thursday, 82 Friday, and 81 on Saturday. Another look at the short range, a high of 70 today. Lows level off around 49 tonight. We should top off around 77 tomorrow. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley, and that's your forecast on 98 Q Country. Right now, 39.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio. I'm Dan Small. With hunting seasons just around the corner, many of us will be purchasing new hunting licenses and selecting our antlerless deer tags, also buying additional bonus tags for antlerless deer and fall turkey in many cases. And when you do any of these transactions, either online or in person, there's also the option of making a donation to the Cherish Wisconsin Fund. And joining us now to tell us what this fund is all about and how it works is David Clutter. He's the executive director of the Natural Resources Foundation of Wisconsin. He's been on the show before, and their website is an easy one to remember, wisconservation.org. David, welcome back, and thanks for joining us again.
Thanks for having me, Dan. I appreciate it.
You bet. Now, for people who don't know or have never heard of it or have forgotten, what is the Cherish Wisconsin Outdoors Fund?
The Cherish Wisconsin Outdoors Fund is a permanent endowment, and it was actually created as an act of the Wisconsin state legislatures. Back around 2011, 2012, the Natural Resources Foundation of Wisconsin, under Charlie Luthen at that time, had worked with the DNR to create an idea that they brought to the state legislature and got overwhelming bipartisan support for this. And essentially, it was creating a permanent endowed fund to provide, you know, a permanent source of funding to care for, manage Wisconsin's public lands. The Cherish Outdoor Fund, you know, supports primarily habitat management, ecological restoration projects, and it's on land that's owned by the state. So these dollars goes to the endowment that is held by the foundation, and then those distributions are made to go on state land for land management purposes. And we can get into a little bit more of the detail, I suppose, as we talk further.
Sure. Now, some people might ask, well, wait a minute, don't DNR funds already support management of state-owned land?
Well, they certainly do. You know, Pittman-Robertson dollars, and, you know, there are different sources of revenue for managed land. But the Cherish Fund is yet another opportunity to provide long-term financial support. A lot of the funding that comes to the state is federal funding. You know, federal funding, state funding comes and goes. And the hope is that, you know, this will be a growing pot of money that will support land management and restoration efforts long-term here in the state of Wisconsin.
I mentioned at the beginning of our conversation that people have the option of donating when they buy a license. How does that work?
It's quite simple. I bought my fishing license here earlier this spring. You go into DNR's Go Wild system. when you're going through, you are prompted at the end that if you'd like to make a voluntary donation, you know, you can click on the cherished box and you can make a donation of whatever you see fit. You know, many of our donations are small, $2, $4. So anyone through that process can donate, you know, any amount of money that they choose to go into this permanent fund. And I believe I mentioned that the act was established in 2012. The fund then was established formally in 2013. And today it's grown to about 2.1 million. It's really growing nicely, you know, due in great part to voluntary contributions from hunters and fishers.
And why was it created initially?
I think it was created because, especially when we're looking at state natural areas, wildlife areas tend to have a little more money available, but not always. But state natural areas and a lot of communities in southern Wisconsin, you know, southwest, southeast, in these what were historically fire-dependent communities or disturbance-dependent communities, you know, the prairies, the oak savannas, the oak woods, some of the wetland systems, they need some additional love. Though we're able to provide good dollars from PR and other federal sources, there needs to be more investment in our land management around Wisconsin, and especially in these disturbance-dependent communities.
Okay, so you have a fund, and people can donate, can contribute to it. I imagine you have other sources of income to the fund as well. Are there larger donors other than the $2, $5, and $10 license buyer donors?
Yeah, absolutely. That's the easiest way to give, is just when you're purchasing your hunting or fishing license, you can just give a voluntary donation. But other individuals have stepped up and really provided much larger gifts to this fund to grow it more quickly. You can do that through, you had mentioned our website before, wisconservation.org/cherish. And that would bring you to the Cherish funding site, where any individual, whether you're a hunter or a fisher, can support the Cherish fund.
So how does it work now? You manage the fund, and where does the money go and how is it distributed?
Yeah, it's a great process, I think, that RNNRF and partners have worked out. The fund is held by NRF, and we invest those dollars with TIAA. And generally speaking, TIAA and our investing partner would manage for, say, 6-7% investment return. We generally distribute on an annual basis, and the distribution rate right now is 4.75%. So the difference between 4.75% and our growth goals of 6-7%, that difference stays with the fund. So essentially grows with inflation over time. So we're not losing the power of that fund over time. But we're also then making annual distribution year after year after year. And then we're putting a little bit back into the fund. The fund will continue to grow. And then over time, as this fund continues to grow, it's going to spit off more and more dollars that we can use toward managing lands. And the process is, I think, a really thoughtful one. The DNR has established a stakeholder group made up of backcountry hunters and anglers, Pheasants Forever, Rough Grouse Society, Wisconsin Conservation Congress, Wisconsin Wildlife Federation, and others. And the stakeholder group basically is there to provide feedback on DNR recommendations for how these dollars are spent. So DNR staff will pull together a bunch of projects where they need money or they can't get money for whatever reason. They'd really like to invest more into these specific lands. They bring the stakeholder group together. The stakeholder group then makes recommendations, and then DNR generally acts on those recommendations. And then our board of directors signs off on those recommendations, and we make those distributions then directly to the DNR.
I like the fact that you've got that intermediate group, so to speak, that is reviewing the requests for funding. That means that we have input really from organizations that I'm sure many of our listeners belong to. So that's a good thing. Very good thing, I think. What kinds of projects are done?
Well, they run the gamut. Just this past year, there were a couple of really innovative projects. There's the Cranberry Creek Native American Mound Group Protection and Ecological Restoration Project. That's a long name. Mm. Another is the Pierce County Islands Wildlife Area Restoration, really looking at habitat restoration for waterfowl primarily. Back in 2001, we funded the White River Fisheries Area, That was really looking at ensuring public access to this site, as well as doing, you know, 45 acres of riparian habitat. So this is, you know, stuff like removing invasive species, buckthorn, you know, those sorts of things in the floodplain. Back in 2019, which was one of our early distributions, that was to the Lawrence Creek Fish and Wildlife Area. And again, this was removing invasive species, collecting seeds for future seeding, putting in fire breaks, all the stuff that is just really necessary to manage land responsibly. Many of your listeners know this intuitively, but not everyone does. And that is that, you know, just buying land or putting a conservation easement on land is step one.
Yeah.
And that's important. But in many cases, unless you're looking at, you know, old growth forest up north or something like that, a lot of these lands really need active management. You know, they need fire. They need invasive species control. You know, I think it's important for everyone to realize, especially in these, you know, fire-dependent communities, they need active management. And even up north, you know, in Northwood, invasive species can play a role. You know, that's something that we always need to keep an eye out on as well.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about. My family owns property up in Bayfield County, and my son got involved in a very extensive buckthorn control project that's still ongoing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, something that started gradually, and all of a sudden, there it is.
You think about buckthorn and honeysuckle, and yeah, they're kind of cruddy invasive plants that destroy the understory of a lot of forest canopy areas, or a lot of forest, but, you know, they're also prime tick habitat. So, you know, from a public health perspective, boy, getting rid of that stuff is important as well.
Yeah. Well, how much money are we talking about, David?
Right now, the Cherish Fund has grown to $2.1 million. It's really seen a nice amount of growth since 2013 when this fund was established. We're at the point now where the fund is kicking off close to $100,000 on an annual basis. You know, it's starting to be real money. You know, I just, you know, wanted to call out my predecessor, Charlie Luthen, for, you know, moving this through the legislature. And we at the Natural Resources Foundation of Wisconsin, you know, we don't take on politics and policy other than bipartisan initiatives. And this is a great example of that, where our organization, the DNR, worked with legislators on both sides of the aisle to move this through. And this is just an important thing for Wisconsin's future to have these dollars available for managing our native ecosystems.
It certainly is. Well, before we let you go, any final thoughts for our listeners?
If you consider that, you know, roughly 700,000 people buy a hunting and fishing license each year, you know, here for the state of Wisconsin, if every person gave just once and gave $2 to the fund, you know, that would be an influx on an annual basis of $1.4 million. Of that, that would disperse about $70,000 a year. So even that $2 donation, you know, on an annual basis, look at the impact that that can have over time. We're really excited about that and what that could mean for restoring our native ecosystems, you know, over time. They certainly need the help, and the Cherish Wisconsin Outdoors Fund, you know, helps get us there.
All right. It certainly is not too much to ask, I think. So we will encourage our listeners, as we have done in the past, to do that when they buy a license.
A lot of these natural communities are blinking out, and they need help now.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks so much, David. We will talk again, I'm sure.
Well, thank you, Dan. I appreciate it.
You bet. David Clutter is the executive director of the Natural Resources Foundation of Wisconsin. Again, their website, where you can learn more about the foundation and the Cherish Wisconsin Outdoors Fund, is wisconservation.org. I'm Dan Small. You are listening to Outdoors Radio.
Castle Rock and Peden Well are two of Wisconsin's largest inland lakes. With more than 60 square miles of water, they offer four seasons of outdoor fun. Halfway between the Twin Cities and Chicago, and just minutes from Wisconsin Rapids and the Dells, you'll enjoy family-friendly resorts and campgrounds, great fishing, bike trails, county, state, and national parks, and the Nisida National Wildlife Refuge. Learn more at castlerock-pedenwell.com or on Facebook at Castle Rock Peden Well Lakes Association.
Step outside, let us be your guide. Florence County, Wisconsin.
Are you looking for that perfect Northwoods destination for outdoor recreation? Florence County has over 200,000 acres of unclouded public land with 160 plus miles of beautiful ATV-UTV trails, many lakes and rivers to fish or paddle, seven wild river waterfalls to explore, horse trails with campgrounds, and friendly bars and restaurants. Go to exploreflorencecounty.com and plan your trip today.
Since our inception, Huntworth has worked relentlessly to incorporate innovative technologies and forward-thinking design into affordable camouflage apparel. Our gear, designed with the Disruption Camo pattern, utilizes computer-generated graphics featuring a high level of random and abstract visual noise to help you remain undetected in the environment. So whether you need the latest in hunting gear technology or clothing that just simply fits your lifestyle, Huntworth gear is what you're looking for. HuntworthGear.com. That's HuntworthGear.com.
Pappas Trading Post is Southern Wisconsin's number one Matthews and Mission archery retailer. Located just west of Arena on Highway 14, they have a full-service pro shop, a 40-yard indoor range, a large selection of archery accessories, and a full assortment of Matthews apparel. Their expert staff can tune your bow for top performance. Gear up for bow season at Pappas Trading Post. Look for the two giant arrows and stop at Pappas Trading Post on Highway 14 west of Arena or visit PappasTradingPost.com. Enjoy the ultimate shooting experience at the Range of Richfield, your one-stop shop for all shooters. Just north of the Richfield Cabela's store on Helson Drive, the Range of Richfield offers 12 state-of-the-art 25-yard indoor shooting lanes for all pistol and common rifle loads, classes in home defense, basic handgun and concealed carry, a retail shop, trophy mount display, and more in a welcoming, family-friendly setting. Open daily except Monday to the public and members. Your ultimate shooting experience, therangewi.com.
Labor Day weekend, you can find all the fun at the Glidden Area Community Fair with Monday, September 4th activities starting at 9 a.m. with the car show. At noon, we have the corn roast, kiddie rides and raffles, quarter bingo, all your favorite beverages and concessions, plus from 1 to 4 p.m., enjoy music by Johnny Warren. The fair committee would like to thank everyone who has sponsored and volunteered to put this great community event on, and we'll see you at the Glidden Community Fair at Marion Park in beautiful Glidden, Wisconsin.
Are you a parent of a 2 to 7-year-old? Listen closely for an exciting free radio offer. By now, you've probably heard of ABC Mouse, the award-winning and revolutionary online learning program that's changing the lives of early learners everywhere.
ABC Mouse is like a little one-on-one teacher. It has helped her so much.
Designed by teachers and early childhood learning experts, ABC Mouse seamlessly aligns with what your child is already learning in school. And with over 7,000 learning activities and more than 650 lessons, it's the most comprehensive early learning site on earth.
I have been teaching for 13 years and I've never seen a program like ABC Mouse. It encompasses science, math, reading, social studies.
It's just endless what they can learn on ABC Mouse. I've always had to use 20 websites and now I can just use one.
Right now, we're offering a special radio promo to try it free for a month. But you have to go to abcmouse.com/radio to claim your free month. That's abcmouse.com/radio, abcmouse.com/radio.
Sponsored by Age of Learning.
Did you know that driving under the influence of marijuana is illegal? Driving high will get you a DUI. And if you're wondering if law enforcement can tell you're driving high, well, everyone else can. Friends?
I can tell you drove high.
Parents?
I can tell when you drive high.
Relatives?
I can tell. You drove here high, didn't you?
So what makes you think law enforcement can't?
I can tell.
If you feel different, you drive different. Drive high, get a DUI. Paid for by NHTSA.
Welcome back to your source for the latest hunting and fishing information. Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio. I'm Dan Small. The ruffed grouse and American woodcock societies have been improving forest habitat for these and other young forest species for more than 60 years. You can learn more at ruffedgrousesociety.org. And joining us for an update is John Steigerwalt. He's a regular on the show. He's the Great Lakes and Upper Midwest Forest Conservation Director for the Ruffed Grouse and American Woodcock Societies. John, welcome back, and thanks for joining us again.
Good to be back once again, Dan.
I would imagine you have some projects going on in the summertime, habitat work or stuff like that.
Summertime is an exciting time of the year to be not just working habitat projects, but lining up habitat projects. A lot of our forest work in the state happens actually in the wintertime. If the soil types on your property are a little bit heavier, a little bit wetter, and not supportive of equipment and heavy machinery and logging equipment, we're blessed in the Great Lakes season with the winter season that helps to make our ground frozen solid. for heavy equipment to operate on. So we're busy right now actually lining up a lot of project work to happen this winter, as well as also going after and working with partners on securing the funding sources for a lot of the habitat work we're going to be planning for the next several years.
Well, that's great, and we will hear more about that as it gets into fall and winter. But since we're very close to the opening of rough grouse and woodcock seasons, well, less than a month away now, how do things look? Was this dry weather good or bad for those species?
Well, if your listeners aren't aware, you're not accustomed to rough grouse hunting, the Wisconsin DNR does what are called drumming surveys every year for rough grouse, and they use that drumming information to help index the population, to basically see if the population is going up or going down, and monitoring long-term trends of the population. And even with the rough grouse population in the Great Lakes region, the population is cyclical. About every 10 years, the population goes up and goes down. It's part of a longer-term cycle, these population trends. Currently, we're in sort of this downward portion of this cycle. So the population we know is decreasing. Again, it's part of this longer-term trend, this 10-year trend of going up and down. This spring, Wisconsin DNR and even some Rough Grouse Society staff that work in partnership with the Wisconsin DNR went out and did drumming surveys, listening for rough grouse drumming, and use that information to look at what the population is currently doing. And state released those numbers. We know the population continuing to go down this season, but I think there's some hopeful things we can talk about. You mentioned the weather. This year being as dry as it was actually could have created some favorable conditions for rough grouse. We do have a lot of concerns when it comes to our spring months. You know, if we get heavy spring rains, downfalls, late season frosts, things are not timed very well with the rough grouse drumming, mating displays, as well as nesting. Or even right after the nesting is completed and you have a bunch of young, tiny rough grouse brood running around foraging for insects, those young brood are highly susceptible to that exposure that could happen from some of those heavy spring rains or even some nest failures that happen because of those heavy spring rains, colder, wetter conditions. We get nests that fail and birds might have to re-nest actually later on, which takes energy to do, time, resources, and exposes birds to predation. But we were really fortunate this year that our spring rains concluded relatively rapidly. We're maybe not as lucky as, you know, we'd like to be. We still very much are in a drought system for other considerations. But overall, I think the survivability of that spring was really good for rough grouse and other ground nesting birds. And that may very well help us going into the season. I'm not going to say that's going to be the best season across the board, but I think there's likely going to be some very good pockets of birds that people who are willing to hunt and search for those birds are going to be able to get into some good birds this season.
Are you hearing any reports on broods, brood sizes, or numbers of broods?
I am. You know, a lot of that's anecdotal. You're hearing the positive observations. You're never hearing the negative observations. RGS, we don't really get into as an organization season forecasting.
Right.
But I can say that it's going to be hopeful. It's going to be a hopeful season, you know, based upon some of the anecdotal data. Where people have been seeing rough grouse, you start to see more rough grouse inside the road one year than another. It's anecdotal data. You can, well, it might be a better season this year. Or if you're walking the woods and you come across a mother rough grouse with a relatively large brood, and you do that relatively frequently in one area over another, you can kind of anecdotally say, well, this area might be actually a nice little hot spot to come back to later this year.
Yeah, okay. Well, speaking of hot spots and hunting, Grouse Camp is now an annual event that RGS has been doing for several years, I believe in a number of states, but here in Wisconsin, I was there one year and you've done it again, I think two or three times. It's up in Eagle River, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It'll be the fourth year that we've run Grouse Camp in Eagle River, Wisconsin. We host it at Trees for Tomorrow. It'll be on September 22nd through the 24th. It's a learn to hunt event. It's not necessarily for youth. It can be for youth or middle-aged hunters or older hunters, people who maybe have hunted pheasants before, ducks, turkeys, but never have given rough grouse hunting a try. You know, it could be your deer hunter who's never even bird hunted before, or, you know, somebody who they've completed the hunter safety requirements, they've got themselves a Wisconsin hunting license for rough grouse for small game, and they'd like to learn more about rough grouse hunting. We kind of do a bit of a broad-based educational mentoring program where different seminars on rough grouse habitat, where to look as far as resources to find the covers that rough grouse are utilizing. We go over like rough grouse biology, ecology, as well as tools for like navigating in the woods, compass, GPS. We also talk about proper clothing, shotguns, and even bird dogs. It's pretty all-encompassing. There's also a very good social atmosphere with it. We do have campfire socials, as well as cooking demonstrations for wild game, and even a whiskey tasting. This year, by popular demand, we're also bringing back a Friday night pig roast dinner.
Nice, nice. Yeah, I attended, I think it was the first one. It's very comprehensive, and all those activities you mentioned are available to attendees. Is there a deadline to sign up?
Unfortunately, Grouse Camp is sold out this year. We sold out a little bit early. However, it is an event that we do plan to continue to host it well into the future. I guess it'll be our fourth Grouse Camp at Trees for Tomorrow in Eagle River. We are putting on Grouse Camp this year thanks to a grant from the Wisconsin DNR for our three events. And we hope to continue to pursue those grants from Wisconsin DNR and continue to host this event into the future.
Well, that's great. And I'll bet that pig roast had something to do with selling it out. But
I think it's probably more the whiskey tasting.
Oh, okay.
But I will say that if you'd like to get involved with the Rough Grouse Society or attend one of our other events, we do have banquet events across the Great Lakes region all fall and into the winter. Feel free to find out where your local chapter is and see about getting involved and coming to one of our chapter events and, you know, learning directly from other RGS members at those events. Find out more on the Rough Grouse Society website, roughgrousesociety.org, and go to membership.
All right. Well, John, thanks so much for sharing that info with us and telling us about the Grouse Camp that folks now can look forward to next year. And I've been to many, many banquets over the years, and those are always fun. If you've never done one, it's something you ought to put on your list of activities to do this fall and winter. We will talk to you again probably after the season opens and see how your early season experience has been, okay?
Let's do that.
All right. John Steigerwald is the Great Lakes and Upper Midwest Forest Conservation Director for the Rough Grouse and American Woodcock Societies. As we mentioned, the website where you can learn more about everything the societies do and the events that they have planned, you can find that at ruffedgrousesociety.org. I'm Dan Small. You are listening to Outdoors Radio.
For the nonprofit Ruffed Grouse Society, the well-being of the ruffed grouse and American woodcock is a special priority. But the Society's conservation work benefits more than just these two game birds. The organization's programs help a long list of other young forest wildlife, including songbirds that must have thick, brushy habitat to survive. For more information about forest wildlife habitat management, contact the Ruffed Grouse Society toll-free at 888-JOIN-RGS.
Since our inception, Huntworth has worked relentlessly to incorporate innovative technologies and forward-thinking design into affordable camouflage apparel. Our gear, designed with the Disruption Camo pattern, utilizes computer-generated graphics featuring a high level of random and abstract visual noise to help you remain undetected in the environment. So whether you need the latest in hunting gear technology or clothing that just simply fits your lifestyle, Huntworth Gear is what you're looking for. HuntworthGear.com. That's HuntworthGear.com.
Step outside, let us be your guide. Florence County, Wisconsin.
Are you looking for that perfect Northwoods destination for outdoor recreation? Florence County has over 200,000 acres of uncrowded public land with 160 plus miles of beautiful ATV-UTV trails, many lakes and rivers to fish or paddle, 7 wild river waterfalls to explore, horse trails with campgrounds, and friendly bars and restaurants. Go to exploreflorencecounty.com and plan your trip today.
Castle Rock and Pete and Well are two of Wisconsin's largest inland lakes. With more than 60 square miles of water, they offer four seasons of outdoor fun. Halfway between the Twin Cities and Chicago, and just minutes from Wisconsin Rapids and the Dells, you'll enjoy family-friendly resorts and campgrounds, great fishing, bike trails, county, state, and national parks, and the Nisida National Wildlife Refuge. Learn more at castlerock-petenwell.com or on Facebook at Castle Rock Pete and Well Lakes Association.
Okay, next time you're at the store, I dare you to not think about the unmistakable fresh, clean scent of Irish Spring. Yeah, you heard me. I want you to resist picturing a shower filled with those sensational Irish Spring suds. And if you succeed, well, you got what my gramps used to call resolutitude. Not a real word, but let's be honest, you're probably going to end up leaving with Irish Spring because of its irresistible scent and because you have zero resolutitude. Pick up Irish Spring today.
The Fifield Lions Club cordially invites you to our open house taking place this Monday at Mulvers Community Park in Fifield, Wisconsin. Come see how you can make a difference in someone's life and improve our community. Stop by any time between 5 and 8 p.m. and see how the Fifield Lions are changing lives for the better here and around the world. Everyone's invited to the Fifield Lions open house this Monday night at Mulvers Park in Fifield, Wisconsin.
I'm Captain Ann Maxson with the Wisconsin State Patrol. Safety on our highways is a team effort. Every day, our troopers and inspectors focus on keeping people and commerce moving safely. Drivers can do their part to prevent crashes and needless tragedies by remembering two simple things. Buckle up, phones down. Thanks for helping us move towards zero deaths on Wisconsin roads.
A safety message sponsored by the U.S. and Wisconsin DOTs.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio. I'm Jeff Kelm. We're brought to you by Cedar Lake Sales on Highway 33 West in West Bend, on the web at cedarlakesales.com. Crestliner model year rebates have been extended through the end of this month. Check out Cedar Lake Sales now for those, and they're also taking storage reservations for this upcoming winter. Past storage customers, you get the first chance, so don't delay and your spot get taken up by somebody else. Check out Cedar Lake Sales website and Facebook page for details. We're also brought to you by Huntworth Gear, performance camo wear at a price you can afford. Huntworthgear.com, by Ducks Unlimited, a proud sponsor of Outdoors Radio and duck hunters everywhere. To learn more about the world's leader in wetlands conservation, visit ducks.org. And we're brought to you by Castle Rock Pete and Well Lakes Association, 60 square miles of fun on the water, castlerock-peteandwell.com, and by Woodside Ranch Resort and Conference Center, woodsideranch.com.
And if our TV show Outdoor Wisconsin is not airing where you live, you can always watch past episodes at milwaukeepbs.org. And our Deer Hunt Wisconsin show from the last several years is archived on the Deer Hunt Wisconsin TV YouTube channel.
We've got the radio show that you're listening to right now online in a couple different places. So if you want to download it, you want to listen to past episodes, or maybe you just want to bookmark it in your computer or on your phone so that you can download it each week, go to lake-link.com, go to Outdoors Radio page, and you can download this show. You can also go to the Outdoor News website, Outdoor News. Their podcast section has this radio show, and you can download it and go from there. Dan is on social media throughout the week. Go to Dan Small Outdoors, and you can find me at Hardwater Jeff.
There are just two spots left on my trip to Lake of the Woods. The dates are September 11 through 15. We'll enjoy 3 days of guided fishing for walleyes, bass, northerns, maybe some muskies and some big panfish as well. The guides, boats, bait, tackle, lodging, and all meals are included. Shore lunches of the fresh walleyes that we catch that morning are another highlight of this trip. It's a great trip. We have good meals in the lodge, breakfast and dinner, and they take really good care of us. The cost is $1,500 per person, and Stormy Cromer President Gina Thorson is going to join us. She's bringing Stormy Cromer gifts for everyone on the trip, and she wants to know your hat size, so I think you know what's coming there.
All right.
Visit blackisland.com to learn more or to reserve a spot, but you better call them today because those spots are not going to last. Well, coming up next month, September 23rd through the 25th, the National Deer Association and some other groups are hosting a Learn to Hunt deer event on private land in the Kickapoo Valley for adults older than 18 or 18 or over with little or no deer hunting experience. The organizers are also looking for mentors, and you can find out information on being a hunter or a mentor on the Pheasants Forever website. So just go to pheasantsforever.org, and everything's right there on the homepage. Also next month, Saturday, September 23rd, the third annual Clam Lake Elk Festival starts at 8 a.m., runs all day, and all activities are free. You have to buy your food, of course, but everything else is free. They have a snowmobile and ATV show, vendor booths and exhibits, an elk walking tour, where I guess you're going to take a stroll through elk country, ATV tours of the area, great food, an antler hunt for the kids, and a DNR presentation on elk. For information, you can call Rob Sparhawk at 715-310-4857 or visit his Facebook page, Rob Sparhawk, S-P-A-R, Hawk. I'll post it on my Facebook page as well. And September 15th is the deadline for eligible hunters who want to participate in the gun deer hunt for hunters with disabilities. It's a deadline for you folks to contact and confirm your hunt location with a sponsor. And there are thousands of acres of land available through sponsors for this year's hunt. The hunt is October 7th through 15th, but as I mentioned, the deadline to get your spot, September 15th. If you visit the DNR website and type in the keywords deer hunt for hunters with disabilities, you'll learn everything about it. Our theme music is by Warren Nelson. Warren and friends are in concert Wednesday evening, August 29th at 7 p.m. in the Concerts in the Park series in Bayfield. It's a free concert. Just bring a chair or blanket and enjoy the music. And then on Friday, September 1st, Warren is presenting his original musical show, Riding the Wind, at Big Top Chautauqua. Visit bigtop.org for tickets. Well, Jeff, travel safe to the Dakotas, and we'll talk again probably right after Labor Day.
Yeah.
I'm Dan Small here with Jeff Kelm. Get outside this weekend and be sure to join us again next week for Outdoors Radio.
Press that needle valve now. Let's get to the perfect speed. Oh, how I love leaving the shore behind. When the cool night swallows the moose's nose and the heron is fishing on one cold leg. When the loon cries lover in the blue north wind, I'll be trolling home to you. When my wrist gets a little chilly on the gunwale, is just too lazy to lure. When the worms go dry in the coffee can, honey, I'll be trolling home to you.
FM WCQM, Park Falls, Wisconsin. The Park Falls Community Broadcasting Corporation.
98Q Country. You've been listening to the broadcast ministry of Cornerstone Church in Ramsey, Michigan. Our service times are Wednesday nights at 6 o'clock and Sunday mornings at 9:30. Please visit our website at cornerstoneup.com or call us at 906-663-4700. Cornerstone Church, loving God, loving people, serving the world.
God, that you would allow your presence just to really soak in and just for us to just feel the embodiment of you here on this earth, for you to bring heaven down to earth today. Amen. A big thing that I talked about last week was just about being one with God. The idea of becoming holy, of becoming more like Christ each and every day. And many of us, that's such a common known fact, is we're supposed to be like Jesus. The Bible talks about all the time about the importance of being an imitator of Christ. And as we put so much emphasis in the church of how to be like Christ and how to put aside worldly desires and fleshly desires, one thing that I believe we don't talk enough about is about the battle that rages on as we attempt to be like Christ each and every day. Like there's a battle that's raging around us that we don't see. The Bible's clear that our battle isn't between flesh and blood, but it's against spiritual principalities. Like there's spiritual things, things that we can't see at work around us, things that are trying to draw us away from God, things that are trying to just cause catastrophe in our lives and bad things in our lives to where we can just completely give up the gospel and all the things that God is trying to instill within us. And sometimes we forget to talk about this in church. Communicators like me who talk about the Bible sometimes overlook the importance of stating this obvious fact that we are facing a battle each and every day of our lives. This is not a one-time battle or a one-time thing that you go through, but this is a daily battle. And some people get so weary, so tired because they're just fighting all the time, right? A battle that they didn't even expect to have. So many times as we portray the gospel and as we begin to invite people into this faith, we forget to tell them that they have to go into battle as they step out of that place. And so they step into an unknowing battle, unprepared and unready to face what's going to happen. Last week, I faced a battle that I knew was going to happen. I accidentally woke up my wife in the middle of the night. I don't know why, but our little one-year-old, it was sleeping in another room, and we had the baby monitor right next to our bed. And unlike in the old ones, this one, you can actually see her picture on the little video screen. And so for whatever reason, in the middle of the night, I became really worried about her and anxious about her. I was like half asleep, so I don't know why I did this. But I leaned over my wife, putting my elbow into her ribs as I was trying to look at the baby monitor for whatever reason. And it immediately woke up my wife. Like, she was concerned. She thought something was wrong. And so for whatever reason, I was really transfixed on the baby monitor, so I couldn't see my daughter in the camera. So for whatever reason, I stumbled into her room and I fixed the camera. And then I walked back in, waking my wife up a second time as I was trying to look at the baby monitor again. And I still couldn't see my daughter in the camera, in the picture. So I walked back in my daughter's room a second time to try and fix the camera. And as I walked back into the room, I just immediately went and passed out in the bed. Like, because I was probably half asleep. I was partially sleepwalking, or at least that's the excuse I gave my wife. But as I went back to sleep, my daughter woke up and began just to scream and cry because she had heard somebody coming in and out of her room and got really terrified. And so my wife had to get up and had to take care of the baby. So I knew my wife was mad at me, so I was ready for the battle ahead. And I know my wife's like a jaguar, like she only attacks from the rear, like jaguars do, so I know if I keep my back against the wall, if I never leave my back unattended, that she can't attack me the way she wants to. So as I was headed into that battle, I was prepared, right? And that's how we need to be with our relationship with God and with the things that we face every day. We need to be ready, right? We can't be unexpecting of these things to go on in our lives, unexpecting of the attacks that might come against us. In the late 1600s, a man named John Bunyan wrote a book called The Pilgrim's Progress. And this book was an allegory or a metaphor, a picture of what our relationship with God and our walk with God looked like. And in this story, the main character's name was Christian. Not a lot of creativity there when you're talking about Christian individuals. But this man named Christian meets a man named Evangelist who tells them that he could lighten his spiritual load. And he tells them about that the city that he lives in is going to be destroyed. It's literally the name of the city is the city of destruction. And that there's a place of salvation and safety in this celestial city. And so as Christian, who is spiritually weary, spiritually tired, understands the truth that Evangelist is speaking, he immediately says, I have to go to this celestial city. And he tries to convince all of his family to join him, but none of them understand that this is life, that this is salvation. And so Christian begins a long and perilous journey to get to the celestial city. And as he continues on in this long journey, he faces many different obstacles. He gets lost in a swamp. He goes through the literal valley of the shadow of death. He faces great opposition, even has to fight at a couple instances. At one point, he almost drowns in a river. Like, he faces all of this opposition again and again and again. But the main point of this story is that he never gave up. Right, he continued on in this journey of faith. He continued on to seek the salvation to which his soul so desired. And that's what we have to understand is in this journey, in this fight, in this battle that we face every day, that we can't just give up when things get tough. And we especially live in such a culture of comfort. We don't understand the term of long-term gratification. We want instant gratification. So when we have to work a long time at something, or when we have to put a lot of effort towards something, many times, especially in the U.S., because we're just so pampered and used to instant gratification, we often give up. But in the case of our relationship with God, this is not the case. We need to push hard. We need to come up with a game plan to fight all these battles that are ahead. Just like last year, many of you guys are college football fans, and you know, because a lot of you guys are Michigan fans. I'm not. I'm a Georgia fan, true and true, from the South, so I have to be. But many of you know that going into the Michigan-Ohio State game, which is one of the biggest games in our area, that Ohio State had more talent, they were better ranked, and it was home field advantage for Ohio State. So they had the upper hand at every turn. And so Michigan, knowing this going in, Michigan came up with a game plan to victory. They came up with a strategy, and they fulfilled that strategy better than anybody else had done against Ohio State, and probably did against Ohio State for the entire year. And Michigan won that game not because of talent or because of luck, but because of the amount of preparation and the coaching that went into the game. And that's what we need to understand, is there's things and concepts within our relationship with God that help us formulate a game plan for us to overcome whatever adversity, whatever hardship, whatever times of difficulty or even dry seasons that we face. We need a game plan in order for us to overcome that kind of adversity. And as you read through the scriptures, you'll notice that many of the Bible characters that we read a lot about face great opposition and great adversity. One of my favorites, and many of you guys would probably say the same, is Paul, the apostle. Paul, more than any of the other disciples, faced probably some of the greatest hardships in his ministry journey. Although all of the disciples faced various forms of hardship and persecution, Paul's is the one that's written out the most within the scriptures. And as we go into, we're going to read in the book of Philippians today, and what I love most about the book of Philippians is the viewpoint that Paul gives.